Hello and welcome to Democracy Talk. I'm Donna Sinclair and I'm here with Mark Haller. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Donna.
We're really glad to have you back and I want to thank you for taking on the job of producer today. Our producer has been Stina and she's been wonderful to work with. She's moving on because she has so many other jobs here at KXRW and Mark is going to be taking this on for a while, and I just want to say thank you. So we have a lot to do today. So over the past year, communities across the country and here in Southwest Washington have seen a surge in grassroots civic organizing. New groups have formed, older organizations have grown, and many people who have never been politically active before are stepping into public life. The past month has also been one of the most volatile political periods in recent memory. And that's saying a lot. The United States has entered a new military conflict with Iran, raising serious questions about war powers and the role of Congress. Fighting in the region has disrupted shipping through the Straits of Hormuz, which is one of the world's most important oil routes. This has sent energy markets into turmoil and pushed gasoline prices higher for Americans already struggling with affordability and rising costs, not to mention the existing increase in healthcare costs. At the same time, the country continues debating immigration enforcement, the reach of executive power, and we have a series of major policy fights in Washington, D.C. and in the courts. We're still waiting for the Supreme Court decision on birthright citizenship. Meanwhile, Department of Homeland Security appointee Kristi Noem has also been removed, and Congress has shut down portions of the government over DHS funding. Against that backdrop, many Americans have turned again to grassroots organizing. One expression of that energy has been the nationwide No Kings protests. Last year, millions of people participated in events held in nearly 3,000 communities across the country, and people turned out worldwide in support of American democracy. Many communities have continued weekly and even daily protests since the first No Kings event in June 2025. Now, that No Kings draws on one of the central ideas of the American Republic, that power ultimately belongs to the people and no one stands above the law. In moments like this in American history, people often turn to local organizing and civic participation. Joining us today are Rebecca Keith from Indivisible Greater Vancouver, Gary Obermeyer from North County Indivisible, and Amy Johnson from the 5051 Movement, all of whom are helping organize the upcoming No Kings Day events here in Clark County. We are asking them to talk about who they are, why they're involved, what No Kings Day will look like in Clark County, and what they hope citizens will take away from No Kings Day here in Clark County on March 28th. Rebecca, let's go ahead and start with you. Tell us a little bit about who you are and your organization and why you got involved.
Okay. Yes, my name is Rebecca Keith, and I have been involved with Indivisible Greater Vancouver since its inception after Trump was elected to his first term. Indivisible Greater Vancouver is a grassroots organization. We're dedicated to citizen involvement, citizen education, and working to uphold the pillars that protect our democracy and work against those pillars that are holding up the Trump regime. So that's basically where we're coming from as an organization. I, as an individual, have been an educator, a Montessori educator, since 1972, and continue to work in my capacity as a head of school in my school in California.
Wonderful. Gary, I'm going to turn to you and ask you to tell us about your involvement and tell us where you come from, how you started all this.
Thank you. My name is Gary Obermeyer. I grew up in Nebraska, grew up on a farm. I was an art teacher for about a decade. I got active in the National Education Association, got active at the national level, and discovered the Northwest. And I've been here for about 40 years. I've been a Northwesterner for 40 years. But only recently to Battleground. My wife and I moved here last summer, largely because of family, to be closer to family. We're both retired now and active in the local Indivisible group. And I knew from living here since the mid-80s that North Clark County is a pretty conservative neck of the woods. And so I was totally surprised when the second No Kings Battleground showed up on the map just about a week before October 18th, and a huge crowd came to the corner of 502 and 503, and we decided we better have an indivisible group. So that's when we started.
Oh, that's a wonderful story, and it connects to No Kings. Now, Amy, I'm really interested in hearing from you about the formation of 5051. Never heard of it before January of 2025. So if you could tell us about who you are and why you're involved and how that happened.
Certainly. Myself and all the members of my closest friends and family are involved in human services here in Clark County. And as a result, the things that 5051 stands for align closely with our personal values. 5051 really only began as a grassroots movement in January of 2025, first beginning through social media such as Reddit and then gaining traction just in time for the first protest in March of 2025, and it has grown steadily since, many chapters across the nation. Our local chapter has a variety of involvement between other local chapters and the state chapter that is called Evergreen Resistance, which is part of 5051. Organizing is a huge part of what we do through protests, but also through mutual aid and providing direct support to communities impacted by the decisions made in this administration.
Can I ask you, how large is your organization? Do you have meetings? How do you all work?
It's a little bit difficult to tell, precisely because we don't keep a central registry of folks who are involved. We have we primarily organize through secure channels on Signal and Proton, and we do have weekly internal meetings, but we also collaborate a lot with local organizations. For example, LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, many local business owners, and other groups such as Pasitos Gigantes and groups who are directly supporting our community.
Okay, thank you very much. And Rebecca, can you tell us a little bit about how Indivisible Greater Vancouver has developed over time and how it's functioning now?
Wow. Yeah, well, when we first started, we were just a group of very upset, very concerned citizens who didn't know what else to do, and we really just needed one another for support. I mean, the shock that Trump was elected was just huge on all of us. But as we grew and we developed, first we were in the Union Hall for a long time, and that was a great place for us to be able to meet. We decided that part of our mission had to become education, and so we did a lot of research on our own to educate ourselves, because many of us didn't even know what congressional district we were in, frankly. And so we did a lot of education of ourselves and of our communities, bringing other people in to speak with us. Obviously, we did a lot of protesting in front of our representatives' office, and were actually instrumental, I think, in finally unseating her. And we now at least have in name Democrat who is supporting us in Clark County. Along with our education, we were doing protesting. We have, at this point now, we feel that it's really our place to be out on the streets and to be seen. So we have, along with both Battleground and Salmon Creek, we have protests Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, where we are out on the streets with signs, being seen and making our voices heard. So right now, that along with planning the larger protests like No Kings and the next one coming up, which is May Day Strong, we are engaged in trying to get the larger community out to be seen too. We're still working for that 3.5% of the population to be out and to be seen and to be objecting to what's going on.
So visibility really matters.
At this point, we think that is an important aspect of it. Although visibility isn't just it, we also need to be taking action. So we are sending petitions, writing letters. We have a huge group of folks that do postcarding. I think now we're doing it twice a week in three different locations. So there are all kinds of ways to get involved, and that's another aspect of what we want to do. Is we want to create a welcome place for people to to have their voices heard in a variety of ways. Some people can be out there on the street corner and they're comfortable with that. Other people are much happier writing a postcard at home, and all manner of things in between. So we really don't want to say there's only one way to do this. There are so many ways, but everybody should be involved. We would like to see the community all engaged.
Hey, Rebecca, could you briefly explain to our audience what the 3.5% refers to?
Okay. I've forgotten the woman's name now. Chenoweth? Am I saying it right? Yeah. Anyways, she is a professor at Harvard. She does a lot of research into dictatorships and what is it that will shift a democracy to a dictatorship? And on the other hand, what is it that will prevent that from happening? And her research has shown that if 3.5% of the population of a nation are actively engaged in protest against the creeping oligarchy, that it won't happen. This is our people power defense to keep us safe and keep our democracy strong. So that's what we want.
People power defense is a really good way to put this. And Gary, I'd like to hear from you about how your people power defense has progressed in North County, because we know Battleground, and it's a pretty conservative place.
Yeah. As I mentioned, there was no Battleground. There was no Kings 1, and there was no Kings 2 until a week before. And I was watching the map because I live in Battleground. I would have come to Vancouver, but a week before, we showed up on the map. And I responded, and I don't know how many people responded, but we ended up with, estimates are between 350 and 450 people standing on the corner of 502, 503. So it just overwhelmed and surprised everybody. And so our North County Indivisible was organized in the wake of that success. Three of us, Laura Flanagan, Stephanie Kendall, and I came down to the Vancouver meeting, and we talked to some local leaders. They helped us get started. National Indivisible helped us get started. And I probably should add that the person who got the meeting set up for No Kings 2 sent out a request to all of us. She said, "I need help. I need a safety team. I need a media contact." And so I volunteered to be the media contact, and that's the role I currently still serve.
Okay, so do you have several people playing those different roles in your organization now?
We have a safety team that has about a dozen people. We've ordered some shiny vests, some bright vests with our logo on it. And they'll be out in force at that same corner, 502, 503, helping to make sure people don't get in trouble, keep people back from the curb, intervene if there's a hater or some kind of wannabe disruptor. And we're also going to have the police also have been working with us very well. We had four officers on duty No Kings 2. We're going to have that many at least. For No Kings 3, we're going to have a resistance chorus, a resistance choir there singing songs on the corner. The corner of 502 and 503, if you don't know, is probably the busiest intersection in North Clark County. Estimates are that about 50,000 vehicles a day go by there, as many as 4,000 an hour during peak times. So it's a great place for visibility. It's not a great place for marching because you just got to stand there, but it's a great place for visibility. And we noticed during No Kings 2, we were keeping track of the people going by, honking, thumbs up, waving at us, encouraging us. The encouraging messages were about 20 to 1 in favor against the negative comments. So we know that people are hungry to get out on the street and push back to save our democracy.
Well, that's really great to hear about North Clark County. You're listening to Democracy Talk with Donna Sinclair and Mark Haller. Today's program is our No Kings Day edition. We're talking with local organizers about the upcoming events in Clark County on March 28th. When we come back, we'll be talking with Amy about her organization's development and involvement with No Kings Day. Be right back.
Support for KXRW comes from Blunt Insurance Group, an independent insurance agency based in Vancouver, Washington. They provide options for home, auto, business, and personal coverage, working with a range of providers. More information is available at BluntInsuranceGroup.com. That's BluntInsuranceGroup.com. Blunt Insurance Group, supporting our community and KXRW Community Radio.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to Democracy Talk. Today we're talking with local organizers from Indivisible Greater Vancouver, North County Indivisible, and 5051. So when we left off, I was asking about the organization 5051 and how it's developed and got involved with the first No Kings Day. So Amy, would you tell us about that?
Of course. Here in Clark County, 5051 began as just a movement of 10 individuals, and it has grown steadily and significantly ever since. 5051, the message behind that is 50 states, 50 protests, and one movement. So protesting is in our blood at 5051, and we have been co-sponsors on a national level of the No Kings movement ever since. And we have been involved not only in the big events, but in a weekly protest against ICE activity in Clark County on Wednesdays. And then also more tangible supports like creating the whistle kits, supporting local food pantries, and other very direct means of action.
Tell us about the whistle kits. What does that mean, creating the whistle kits?
Absolutely. So a group of us meet together approximately once a week, and we create very small bags that have the red card, known as the Know Your Rights card, as well as a whistle and a zine about how to use the whistle. So the whistles are a grassroots tool that can be used to notify other people in the community about ICE activity. So there's a certain call on the whistle that you make if there is ICE activity, and if a detainment is actively occurring, you change the call to a solid blow. And so that helps folks draw attention to what's going on so that folks can record and families can be notified, and to increase accountability coming from the people.
Well, so one of the things I'm curious about, and thanks for telling us about that, is how large your movement has grown here in Clark County, because it's been a pretty short time, and I think maybe you're a lot younger than some of us and some of the other groups. Is that true?
I think we have quite a variety of folks at 5051. Our population does trend a little bit younger, although not exclusively. I think many young people have felt frustrated, angry, and unsure about, and maybe powerless. And as soon as we gathered together and found ways that we can help support our community and to drive action, it is this just this beautiful realization that, like, the power is in our hands and we can make a difference when we're working together.
And how large is it now, approximately?
I mean, in our one of our dedicated chats, we have between 50 and 60 members, but that does not encapsulate everyone who is participating. That is just a specific group of folks helping make events happen.
Okay. And of course, Indivisible Greater Vancouver has had a much longer time to develop. And I know there are thousands of people on the Facebook page and people who receive their newsletter. So the word goes out to a lot of people. And I know there's some overlap in terms of publicity, probably for all of the groups here. I'd like to hear from each of you what's going to happen on March 28th. And let's let our listeners know so they can get involved if they'd like to. We'll go ahead and start with you, Rebecca.
Okay. March 28th, we will be up at Marshall Park, probably by 9 o'clock in the morning, getting ready and setting up for what will occur. The actual rally event will begin at noon. We will have speakers, we'll have music, we will have a poet. I can read off actually we do know exactly who will be there now. We will have State Senator Adrian Cortez, our Clark County Poet Laureate Susan Dingle, Cynthia Gardner, who's a scientist, Carmen
Paniagua.
Paniagua, thank you. Carmen Paniagua, who is Jose's sister-in-law, who's been working with us. We've been working with them, I should say. We've been working with them to do everything we can. And Jose is home.
Jose is home. Okay, so for listeners who pay attention to our program, we interviewed Carmen about the experience that Jose Paniagua had, and I've been updating them. So that's great to hear.
Great, yes.
Thank you.
No, but anyway, so she will be speaking and talking about her experience and his experience. Our Clark County Auditor, Greg Kinsey, will be there to talk about the threats that are going on to our wonderfully well-established vote-by-mail system that we have here in Washington. And then Coyote Moon will be providing music. And then when we get done with our speaking at Marshall Park, we will be marching all the way to the waterfront in the streets. So we welcome you to come to any part of the march. And then once we get to the waterfront, that's where 5051 will have been busy working since 9 o'clock in the morning as well. And there we will have some youth representative spokespeople from LULAC who will be finishing up our program for us with their impressions and what it is that they would like the rest of us in Clark County to hear about their experiences with ICE and what's been happening in the world for them.
Thank you, Rebecca. Now, I'm aware that that's about a 2-mile march and that both the red line and green line go from the Marshall Park area, or actually right across from Clark College, down to the waterfront for anybody who needs public transportation. I also learned last night that there will be parking at Marshall Center, but only for people with handicap stickers, preferably. I won't say that everywhere, but there are a lot of people who can't walk very far. And that Clark College, all of the parking that Indivisible Greater Vancouver has rented, the Clark College parking lot. So I just thought I'd throw that in there to make sure that we get that information out there. I want to hear what happens. I'll come to you in just a minute, Gary, but I want to hear what happens once all of those people get to the waterfront. Go ahead, Amy.
5051 will be hosting a mutual aid, education, and resource fair at Waterfront Park from noon to 4 on the same day. So after folks finish marching, or for folks who may not be able to march for any variety of reasons, they're welcome to join us for a time of open conversation, learning about groups that are active in our community, about some of the hyper-local politics that are helping us better our community, and ways that either they can receive resources or that they can get involved. We have made a theme for this beyond just No Kings, but No Kings and No Kingsmen, because we know that these concerns did not begin with and will not end with Trump and his regime, but we would like to address the bigger issues regarding the systems that allowed this to happen and that perpetuate this. So the systems that give power to the billionaires and the oligarchs and the Epstein class and those forces of power. So for us, this is a big movement, and we're hoping not just to protest and rally on this day, but to show folks what happens next. How do I take this anger and turn it into action? How do I better my community by my involvement that will directly help my neighbors?
So for people who aren't familiar with the concept of mutual aid, can you tell us a little bit more about how what role that plays in the protest community?
Absolutely. And I first just would like to say that mutual aid has really sprung out of long traditions in the immigrant and BIPOC community. It's not something new, but it is taking the main stage right now. Mutual aid can look like a variety of things. It can look like the folks who serve hot soup at Esther Short Park for the unhoused, and it can look like sitting with your friend helping them make a medical appointment that's a little hard for them. It can look in a lot of ways, but essentially we're divesting from systems that are going to neglect vulnerable folks, and we as people are going to support our neighbors directly. So there's so many ways that it can look, but as far as in the protest community, that is one way that we take power back.
Okay, so mutual aid is a key feature of the organizations, all three of you here, I believe. And Gary, it's your turn to tell us about your No Kings Day out in Battleground.
Well, as I mentioned, we'll be at the corner of highways 502 and 503, very busy intersection. It won't be a march, but I guess it's probably accurate to say we'll be standing our ground in battleground for 2 hours from 11 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, and waving our signs. The choir will be singing. We'll have a table there for people who want to give money, people who want to get information on how to join. We'll have the safety team there in full force, watching for problem makers and helping be a buffer between potential troublemakers and our crowd. We want to keep people in a positive mode, and because we want to be inviting to the people who are driving by and seeing that there is concern about democracy and about our future, and not turn people off with anger and hate, which there's plenty of that out there. So we're going to be the positive side of the message, standing our ground in battleground. That could probably be our slogan, but we hadn't used it before. But anyway, I should mention that we've been so blessed by a police department with a police chief who, I mean, he's not picking sides. He just wants to make sure that our First Amendment rights are honored and not impeded in any way. We had 4 officers there at the first rally. I think we'll have at least that many this time. We had 1 standing on the corner. We had 1 sitting in a car and 2 driving by in cars. There were some arrests made, because we have quite a few big noisy trucks in North Clark County. And one of the favorite tactics is to come by, stand on the brakes while you're standing on the accelerator to blow diesel smoke in the crowd. But that's not tolerated by our local department. So we're looking forward to having a joyful time with those signs waving in support of democracy.
So, Gary, you exceeded expectations. You're the last No Kings event. What's your expectation for this one?
Well, as I mentioned, the estimates were between 350 and 450. If the weather cooperates, we could easily double that, because we've had this additional time to organize. We've got several active groups, in addition to the rally team and the safety team and the choir that I mentioned. We've got people working on postcards. We got people working on ICE concerns. We've got people working on following education policy. We got people organizing groups to pay more attention to local councils and local boards, to build capacity to just participate in our local government.
Okay, so let's do this now. I want to find out from each of you how people can connect with your groups and sign up for No Kings Day if you're asking for signups. I know that mobilize.us is how most of you are. Is that how most of you are doing it? Okay. No, okay, so 5051 is not doing that, but both Indivisible Greater Vancouver and North County Indivisible are. And tell us how people sign up.
Go ahead. Well, at the No Kings website, you go to the website, put in your zip code, find the nearest event, and then you just sign up. You click the button, and our team gets the email. They get an automatic response saying thank you, and we do follow-up communication to remind people of the day, to remind people to be positive, to remind people to come for a joyful event, and to join if they're not already members. We have currently, well, it's hard to judge our membership too, because we have a Facebook group that's currently around 300 members, but a lot of people don't like to do Facebook, so we also have the mailing list through Mobilize Us, and we have a website, northccind.org, where people can find out how to connect.
And for us, it's the same, basically the same deal with Mobilize, but we also have a website, Indivisible Greater Vancouver, and we have a Facebook page. Then we send out a newsletter every week. So if you sign up on any one of those ways, you will get a newsletter emailed to you. If you don't like the other stuff, you get a newsletter mailed to you every week. Sometimes you'll get a newsletter twice if there's a lot of stuff going on. We do have a rapid response team that will create events at a moment's notice when the administration does something that we feel really needs to be responded to immediately. So you will hear from us through email. We also have Signal. You can get in touch with us that way. We have, that, like I said, the Facebook. I think at this point we even have Reddit or...
There's Discord chats.
Discord chats, yeah. I mean, well, we have so many. I mean, I have to admit, I am going to be 77 next week, and I am not on top of the social media things, but we do try to have different ways that you can get in touch with us, so you can find us. If you just type in Indivisible Greater Vancouver into Google, you will find us that way. You don't have to have anything more than that.
Well, and how about your group, Amy? How do people join the group? How do they find you?
Certainly. So as far as upcoming events, we don't use an RSVP system like mobilize.us. We just hope that folks will show up. If there are folks out there who have organizations who would like to be part of our mutual aid fair or are doing work in Clark County, you can email us or you can connect to us on social media. Our email is 50501cc@proton.me, and our Instagram is 50501 Clark County WA. We do, if you go to our website or our Instagram or you email us, you can find out how to get engaged through the vetting process that occurs on Signal, and that's how we ensure that folks are getting involved for reasons that support our values, and that's how you would get plugged in with ongoing work with us.
Okay. Well, we only have one more minute, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask each of you to very quickly tell me what's the tone of No King's Day as you see it for March 28th.
Well, I would say more than anything, we want to celebrate that we are out there to defend our democracy. So I would say that this is celebratory, but it's also the opportunity for anyone who has all kinds of pent-up concerns and worries to express themselves, to make noise, to say, I am here, this is my voice, and I support democracy.
Wonderful. Gary?
I would say joyful and hopeful in the face of very big odds.
Amy?
For us, solidarity, action, and righteous, peaceful anger.
Wonderful. Okay, so you've been listening to Democracy Talk. We've been talking with local organizers about the March 28th No Kings event in Clark County. I'm laughing, listeners, because I can't seem to get that date straight. But we'll be right back, and we will talk a little bit more philosophically about why all this exists. Thank you.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. The Columbian is family-owned and operated by the Campbell family, guiding the award-winning news coverage and operations since 1920. Subscription options and the most thorough daily coverage of the local region, local sports, and national news, both in print and online, available at Columbian.com. Consider subscribing today. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW is supported by founding partners Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs and within their budget. Find Morrell Inc. at MorrellInc.com. That's MorrellInc.com.
Welcome back to Democracy Talk. We will be wrapping up our conversation in just a moment by asking our guests more about the meaning of No King's Day, what they hope people take away from the day, and how listeners who care about democracy can get involved. So as we return to the conversation, I'd like to get a sense from each of you about who is this for? Why is No King's Day happening? Gary, we're going to start with you this time.
It's happening because we know, well, we learned from No Kings 2 that there are a lot of people in our community who are concerned about where our country is headed. And we've started small because we're trying to help people have a safe space to support each other, to talk to each other, and to identify positive actions we can take. And in our monthly meetings, we're beginning to do that. We're bringing in people to help us understand what's going on. And each meeting is a call to action. It's not just a time to talk. It is a time to act. And we're trying to balance this thing of being safe and making a difference. At our last meeting, when we were started to talk about No Kings 3, we asked the group, we've got a press release ready to go. Do we use it? We asked them, because by using it, we may get a few more people there, but by using it, we may also get some disruptors there. So we're trying to walk this balance between safety and making a difference.
Did you send it out?
Yes.
Okay. And you're here doing a radio show, which is going to come out the week before No Kings Day. So sounds like you have some important decisions. By the way, if people want to join your group so that they can actually be part of the meetings, what do they do?
There are a couple ways. Well, there's an email address on the website, northccind.org.
Okay. All right. Great. And so, Rebecca, tell us about who this is for in Indivisible Greater Vancouver's estimation.
Okay, I would say that really, truly, what we want this to be for everyone. Everyone who would like to have their voices heard. I think we want to, as best as we can, magnify the voices of the people that have not been heard, to make this a safe space for those people to speak and a place to honor those individuals who usually are marginalized. So that's an important thing. But everybody is worried about different things. There's climate, and there's all of the horrible things that the Trump administration is doing. There are people who are focusing on different aspects of that. We have invited everyone who is progressive, who would like to see change, and wants to have their voices heard to come and table at our event so that we can look around and see how many different people in our community are already busy doing things to make our democracy sound. So for us, it really is for everybody. You can come and stay at Marshall Park and hold your signs. You can come and march all the way if you want to. You can carry a banner. You can bang on a drum. You can chant and you can sing. It's for all kinds of expression. You can join us at the waterfront and find out different ways to get aid if you need aid, or offer aid if that's something that you're able to do. So we just would like everybody to join. Last time at Gretchen Fraser Park at No Kings 2, we were floored with the number of people that arrived. We had, we think, about 16,000 people altogether.
Oh, is that counting the cars? Because I thought it was 11,000.
No, that's not that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was the last count that I was given. And we'd like to see all that many. I would love to look at, when we get down to the waterfront, I would like to look out and see nothing but people on the waterfront park, on Waterfront Way, everywhere. People saying, we support our democracy, and we are here, and we will do something, and we will act.
So it's for everybody. Amy, how about you?
I think that's a beautifully phrased question. We are doing this for the people. This isn't about a person or a specific organization or someone we'd like to get elected. This is about the people standing up for the people. We use the phrase among our group a lot. We protect ourselves. We are not going to rely and expect a politician to save us or a group or a movement to save us. We as the people will be doing this. Organizing and fighting against oppressive regimes is not something new to communities of color and to immigrant communities. And so, you know, as we organize, our hope is, as things gain traction, to continue to amplify the voices of folks who have been historically and are currently being disproportionately hurt and targeted by these policies. So we are very careful who we partner with so that folks of color, that immigrants, that trans folks, that folks with disabilities all know that they are safe in among our group and with the community's partners that we choose.
Okay, well, and I hear there's a food drive at Indivisible Greater Vancouver also. So everybody can bring food everywhere they go.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, there were 1,300 pounds of food last time at the Indivisible. And I know that your group does mutual aid regularly all the time. So that's really commendable from a community standpoint.
Yeah, and we at Indivisible Greater Vancouver, we also help with the distribution of food every Friday.
Right. And there's distribution of food through LULAC also. And so there's some partnerships. So what I'm hearing is that there's partnerships amongst the groups also.
And I think that's again is part of what we're all looking for in No Kings 3 is that we are all partners. That we are all partners in supporting one another and supporting our democracy. And we can work together.
Well, speaking of democracy, one of the questions I sent to all of you, and I hope you spent a moment thinking about it, is what does the phrase "No Kings" mean to you in the context of American democracy today? And Amy, I'm just going to turn to you on this one.
Sure. I addressed this a little bit earlier, but we are embracing the philosophy of no kings and no kingsmen. We have rights guaranteed in the Constitution and in the laws that we have created that are being grievously trampled on right now. And not only by the current administration and the current president, but by his cronies, his goons, folks he's putting in power, by the billionaire class, the Epstein class. Our hope is that not only can we enact change with respect to this current administration, but as far as power goes long term and how power impacts the most vulnerable people.
How about you, Gary? What do you have to say to that?
Just that I understand that our country, our very nation, was founded on as a reaction to a king. And the founders wanted to make sure we didn't have a king. And I've been watching the Burns series on the American Revolution. It was a messy time. It's been a messy time through our whole history. There have always been people who believed kings are okay. There have always been people who believed kings aren't. And for most of our history, fortunately, it's been the people who don't believe in kings who've guided us through our history.
How about you? Well, I do want to say one of the things I teach is that the Declaration of Independence is basically a breakup letter with England. And so it's a great way to read that list of grievances. Rebecca, how about you?
Well, I would agree that the whole reason that we started this country was the idea that people are created equal and that they have rights. And we have written into our Constitution that we have rights to privacy. Our home is our castle. We have rights to free speech. We have right to express ourselves. We have a free press. All of these things are being threatened. All of these things are being threatened. And while we wrote these as being rights that existed, they maybe for many people were things that were more aspirational than actual. And I think part of, I have to agree with 5051 in that part of what we want to do is make change. We don't want to go back to the way it was. We want to move our country forward to a place where what we say are our rights really are our rights, that we really all are treated equally and all have equal opportunity and equal opportunity for speech. Right now, with the amount of money that is in our politics, it really has upset the scale tremendously on how things happen. We can feel our chance to vote being pulled away from us, snatched from our grasp. And this is something that is not new for marginalized people. This is something that has been in existence since the beginning. I mean, we have to remember when all men were created equal, they were all white land-owning men. So we're moving from that stance to a place where really everyone is equal. And that, I think, is, that's what No Kings means to me.
Yeah, it's been aspirational from the very beginning, and there's been a push, and I think a lot of what we're experiencing right now is a backlash to some of the successes primarily of the last 50 years, because as you said, Rebecca, originally it was all men are created equally, and it was all white men with property, and so that has expanded. That's one of the great things about America. So if we want to make America great, we need to get back to really pushing for enforcement of the Constitution. Mark, did you have anything that you wanted to say about democracy today? Because we have a lot that we could say, and we have about 3 minutes left.
You know, we've talked about democracy a lot on this program, different contexts with different folks. And it's certainly something that I think a lot of us take it for granted here in the United States. But it is not something that takes care of itself. It is all of us getting involved every day. And I'm very impressed by you folks and what you're doing. So thank you. It means a lot.
And so am I. So as we think about wrapping this up, what do you hope people take from No King's Day? And I just want to put in a plug for not only taking, but bringing at least two friends with you.
Absolutely. And bring your family. Your sisters and your cousins should be reckoned here by dozens, and your aunts. But no, truly, I would like people to feel that they have the power and that they can take action and that they will walk away saying, this is just the beginning. That we are going to keep on keeping on, and that we will protect one another, and we will protect the people that are marginalized in our country, and we will not stand for this.
Gary? Well, I would say what we're going to need to focus on for the next few months is the elections.
Oh, that's true, too.
And even if we're successful, it's not the end of the road. Like Rebecca says, there's a long road ahead to get back to that path moving forward with human rights and equality for all of our citizens and all of the residents who make this country really a great place to be.
For 5051, I think the hope is that everyone can take the anger and the energy from No Kings and transform that into action in the community, whether that's getting involved in super local issues like Camp Bonneville or running for leadership in the library or something bigger than that, whether that's serving meals and supporting your neighbors or Ice Watch or any of those things, there is room for everyone to participate based on the resources and the skills and the time they have available. And we just want to welcome open arms to everyone who's willing to do that with us.
So if someone who's listening believes that democracy matters but doesn't really know where to start, what should they do? I'm just going to go down the line and then we're going to have to wrap up.
I would say just go to the social media, look up either any one of these organizations, and get in touch. There is someone there that will answer you, that will help you find a place to plug in, whether you're helping your neighbor get to the ballot box because we're not trusting the mail anymore, or if it's writing postcards, or if it's getting engaged to the whole point where you're starting to plan the next No Kings 4. Just get in touch and get started.
I would just say come stand with us on the 28th.
Yes, contact any of the local organizers that are here today. Show up on the 28th in any way that you can, and we can get you plugged in from there.
Well, thanks to all of you for coming today, and thanks to you out there who've been listening to Democracy Talk. This is the program where people, power, and politics come together in Southwest Washington. We've been talking about No King's Day on March 28th, and we hope you have enjoyed the show, and our organizers look forward to seeing you in the park, on the waterfront, and on the side of the street and battleground. Thank you very much.
Out the stop plugs, drain all the waste. Who needs it anyway? Fill all the big holes, leave no trace, no sign of yesterday. Wash all the dishes and clean up my plates. sign of yesterday. I stare at the photographs of your dark face. No sign of yesterday. Out in the yard was such a lovely place. It's where we used to play. Inside, outside, you can feel and taste. No sign of yesterday. And I can hear you calling. I can hear you calling. I can hear. Little ships are falling. This old car keeps stalling. Always seems to be the way. Pick up the pieces and dig out the dead. Then you can go to bed. As night is the stealer and time is the test. No sign of yesterday.
This government had an idea and Parliament made it law. Seems like it's illegal to fight for the union anymore. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Set off to join the picket lines, but together we cannot fail. We got stopped by police at the county line. They said, go on, boys, or you'll go into jail. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Well, it's hard to explain to a crying child why her daddy won't go back. So the family suffer, but it hurts me more to hear a scab say, sod you, Jack. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Well, I'm bound to follow my conscience, and I'll do whatever I can. And it'll take much more than a union law to knock the fight out of a working man. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
This is KXRW, Vancouver.